Hey Brian, hey Rick, Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back. We are back to another episode of From the Tips. It's me, your boy Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host, Rick Landis. How we doing? Good, buddy. Had a nice little break. We're back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try my best to not fall asleep. Got a new setup for recording for the other podcast, and that means that I'm also using it for this one. But we got a nice little couch, which is super comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of that. So, yeah, I'm going to try my best not to fall asleep. I think I'll be fine. We're talking some golf. I got the Panthers game on in the background. So, if anything, if I seem distracted at any point or I make a random yelping noise, it's probably just because something happened in the game. That's it, really.
Ignore the yelps.
But, yeah, I had off work today because of weather, which is stupid, but whatever. So, had a day to relax. Got to the gym super early, not too bad. How about yourself? How are you doing?
Dude, doing well. Work has gotten really busy. I'm going to, I basically just got back from North Carolina for work, and now I'm headed right back up to New York tomorrow.
Nice.
Luckily, New York shows. I don't have to stay overnight. We just drive back, but it is super late by the time we get back. Yeah. So that always kind of sucks. But
you have to go to work the next day?
Yeah, so I get to come in late the next day. Okay. Usually, I get to work from home, but because we're so busy, I need to be in the office because we got more to do. So gotcha. I got the chance to come in at 11, which is nice. But it's a good thing. Work being busy is a good thing. That means we're still employed and there's stuff to do, which is always good.
True.
But besides all of that action, we took 2 weeks off as the season ended. It's one of those things where we understand we were greatly missed and that people, you know, obviously wanted to hear our lovely voices here on this podcast. But having a 2 week break after a long golf season, it was nice. It was nice.
Yeah, it was necessary.
Rick got to go to Disney, which was great.
Universal. Sure. I wasn't at Universal Disney this time. Sorry. We were at Universal.
Universal. The pictures from what was that? Was that Diagon Alley you guys were at?
Yeah, well, we were out everywhere. We went for Spill the D, which is the other podcast that I'm on. We went with our one sponsor. They basically sponsored us for the trip. They got us tickets. They got us hotel room, everything. So we had park hopper tickets and got to go anywhere we wanted, really, to get content and film some stuff. So,
dude, that's sick.
Pretty sick.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty sick.
That's borderline the dream right there.
That's honestly, like, my biggest flex at the moment is that I just did that, and I love it.
That's 100% got to be the biggest flex you can think of, right?
I'm like, a big fan of it. I like calling huge. It a work trip. That's nice, yeah. To be able to call going to Universal a work trip.
You able to subsidize that any fees on that trip and on your taxes?
Probably
for work.
Probably.
That'd be cool. That's a big,
I mean, we make, so we make
money back on that?
We make money on the podcast, so we technically do have to pay taxes on it. So
that's what I'm talking about. That's the flex, I think. In it all.
Very excited. It was a great trip. Very, very awesome. Definitely can't wait to have another experience like that. But it was a good time.
Yeah, man. And I really haven't been getting up to a whole lot. Went to the Renaissance Fair yesterday. The Renaissance Fair.
Did you get a flail?
No, I did not get a flail. I did almost buy a kilt. I was right.
For next year?
Yeah. And honestly, they're just so much cheaper online. I'm like, yeah, there's no need for me to spend this kind of money here. Like, I understand the immediacy and all that jazz, but there's no need.
You could have put it on there.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I just like the fact that, you know, there's thankfully a small break in the PGA season where we get to take a break. So we got those 2 weeks off, which was nice, but we do have some golf to talk about from the Fortinet, and obviously coming up is maybe the most exciting golf of all time, pretty much the greatest show on a golf course in the world, happening in Rome. That's right, the Ryder Cup. We'll talk about that, obviously. But first, Rick, my friend, what do we have today in sports history?
So apparently in 1931, the PGA Championship was held and concluded today. So 20-year-old Tom Creevy won his lone major title.
Well, how about
today
it?
At the PGA right ahead, Championship. Tommy. So it's a big day for him. 1947, Jackie Robinson was named the Rookie of the Year. So, I mean, for those that don't know who Jackie Robinson is, move out of your cave, maybe.
Yeah, gotta know who that guy is.
Yeah. Here we go. 2004, NFL Oakland Raider. That's right. They used to be in Oakland.
There you go.
Wide receiver Jerry Rice ends the NFL streak of 274 consecutive games with a reception. So his first game in 274 games where he didn't have a reception. Wild.
That's insane.
Yeah.
To have at least a catch in over 250 games.
Yeah. I mean, they might have been playing 15 games a season at that point, but even if, like, that's like, what, like 15 seasons in a row that he had a catch every game? Wild.
And the passing game was not as robust as it is nowadays back then.
It was when he was there. It was when he was there.
That's fair. Well, yeah, when you have Jerry Rice, yes, I get that. But as far as like the league is concerned, you had offenses that were trying to run the ball a little bit more, you know what I mean?
So yeah. 2004, we're in Oakland Hills Country Club for the Ryder Cup.
Popping off.
And Europe won by one.
Boo, boo, boo.
They won by one. They didn't win by one. Horrible math. 18.5 to 9.5 was actually what they won by.
They won by one. That's
for some reason my brain registered it as 18-19, and I was like, wow, that's super close. And then I read the rest of it and it said that it's the largest margin of victory by the European team. Jack Thompson, you better not be hurt.
That's American math right there.
That's
American
sure.
math.
So yeah, that's how that went. Jack Thompson is hurt.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see how that knee went.
I am ready to find a bridge to jump off of. If anyone knows a good one, let me know, because I'm going to need one.
Any of the 95 ones, I would suggest really just walk the opposite direction. No, you'll get hit. It'll be fine. The way that knee moved is not the way knees are supposed to move. I think would be funny is if somebody would sit down, listen to this episode, and like also play like the full replay of the game and just like kind of experience what we're doing here.
Yeah, not a great time, especially because we don't have a first round pick next year. So
yeah, that's you're gonna have to
we gotta figure it out.
Because there's still a chance that the Panthers can definitely Oh, by the way, folks, as we warned you the last episode we recorded, it is football season, which then subsequently makes the first 15 minutes or so of this podcast about football. You're welcome. But I still think there's a good chance the Panthers can at least compete for the division. Right.
I wish I could agree, but our offensive
Baker
line
Mayfield's
is in shambles at the moment.
He's
going
to fail.
Our offensive line is in shambles at the moment, and Shaq Thompson just destroyed his knee. So, and not everybody's Thomas Davis, who can come back from 3 ACL tears. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But honestly, Baker's not who I'm worried about. The Falcons are looking pretty good, and the Saints are looking pretty good right now, and we look like garbage. So,
yeah, kind of sucks that Derek Carr maybe isn't a bust, right?
He's not.
Like,
he's a good quarterback. He just
I guess the Raiders are just that bad of a franchise that just even good players just can't make it out there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Give Derek Carr some weapons and he's not a bad quarterback.
In other bad news, the Eagles look pretty bad all the way around.
2-0 is a horrible start.
Like, look, I like, don't get me wrong, I like getting wins. That's great. But the way we're getting them is not relaxing at all. There's nothing to write home about the offense. They finally ran the ball. How do you feel about the run game in the year 2023 of our Lord?
I'm just mad that you're complaining to me about.
Okay, now I'm not. I'm not
right complaining.
Now.
That's
a dramatic
about.
Stance.
I'm not complaining. I think that is almost. See, now you can't just fall on someone's knee like that. It's not going to end well. Oh, good. A cart. Wonderful. It's what you like to see. The run game.
Okay. That's not his knee. That's his ankle.
I think I listened to a podcast on from the Locked On Podcast Network. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
Yeah.
Locked On Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
And the host of that show, notoriously, every single episode brings up the fact that he believes running back should be paid federal minimum wage with no overtime and all days. And it seems like the NFL agrees.
That's so fucked up. No overtime, no holidays. That one gets me. That one gets me.
It seems like the NFL agrees.
Ooh,
shit, I do miss funny. The run game. It's still prevalent in some teams, but it just people like watching passing.
Yeah, and I get that. I do. The West Coast offense is exciting, but man, nothing gets me more fired up, right? Then the Eagles had a drive in their game this last week where the pass game was it was not happening. The RPO wasn't working. Rest in peace to the RPO, by the way. It's no longer viable. And they handed the ball off to DeAndre Swift, I think 8 times, 9 times in a row. Nothing was getting me more fired up. And then DeAndre Swift left the field. They hand it to Boston Scott. He gets a chunk of yards, right? You don't have to get a first down in the first play, but you get 6-7 yards in the first play. Now, guess what? That safety's crashing because he just ran the ball 10 times. Yeah. And you pop it off over the top to DeAndre, Devontae Smith, about 50-some-odd yards for a touchdown. That's what the run game does. Run the damn ball. It makes me so mad when teams just ignore the run game entirely. There's no need to do it, right? Hand the ball off to a guy that's got a little bit of shiftiness, right? Going to hide behind the line. Hit the gap. Accelerate. You know what I mean? Hit the gap. Accelerate.
Easy peasy. Why am I explaining this to run professional the damn athletes? Ball. I don't know.
I really feel like I should just be an offensive coordinator at this point.
Probably the best bet.
But you're all lining. You're lining up in the wing tee, and you're gonna like it. All right,
the wing tee. The wing tee. No.
We're running the wing tee, and maybe if we're gonna get
we're running the ball 99% of the game. Our quarterback's gonna have 5 pass attempts the whole game.
Oh, you're lucky if you're getting 5 pass attempts.
Crazy stat I heard the other day: CJ Stroud has the most pass attempts through 2 weeks out of any quarterback. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Wild. Because he sucks.
You guys have Miles Sanders.
No, CJ Stroud, not Bryce Young.
Mm. Sorry. Really?
Yeah.
In Houston?
Because he sucks. There's
maybe they just thought if they just keep giving him opportunities, one of these times it'll go right.
Gonna happen.
You just keep giving him a shot. Why not, right? Man. Yeah, football's back and it feels good. To talk a little bit about fantasy, my team's is bad, real bad.
Yeah, same.
Mediocre across the board. What I've been realizing though is, other than like your select few players, pretty much all fantasy teams are pretty mediocre to start the season.
Dude, fantasy football is tough these days because nobody is consistent.
It'd be tough. It'd be real tough. You know who is consistent though? CMC himself. That man is good for 22 points at least.
I have offers out right now in our league for Patrick Mahomes and Devontae Smith. So we'll see what happens.
If I inevitably lose tonight, which I think I'm going to, we're putting CMC on the block and we're going to see
already. In week 2.
We're blowing it up.
So much can happen yet though.
Yeah, I get that, but think of the value, right? Think of the draft picks, Rick.
What do you want?
Well, I mean, we can talk. See, here's the problem: we can't talk about this right now because you know John listens, and that man is a whore for trades. Okay,
Well, maybe I'm just trying to get John. Maybe I'm just trying to bait John into trading wild picks for CMC.
You know he's in his car right now, foaming at the mouth, just ripping a trade offer as we speak.
You're gonna wake up tomorrow with an offer for Christian McCaffrey for a 3rd-round pick in 2025, and John's gonna be like, "What? That's not good.
There's value in 2025.
I'm just getting the ball rolling." That's what he told me when he offered me a shitty deal.
It's like he leads with like a handshake. He's like, this isn't going to be the final deal, but I'm going to piss you off immediately. So let's just get right into negotiations, shall we?
For my first round pick, he offered me a second round pick the next year and a like a third or fifth round pick 2 years later. I was like, no.
Value, Rick.
And he told me he was value. Just trying to get the ball rolling.
What a menace to society he is. Oh my goodness. He's a father, which is incredible. All righty. Well, we've wasted quite enough of everybody's time. Let's get into the golf talk. So obviously we had the end of the season 2 weeks ago and boom, that's right. New season has begun. Here we are, 2023-2024, the Fortinet Championship. Now, Rick and I have famously talked about this part of the season being when, you know, I wouldn't say there's a lot of awesome golf being played. There's not a whole lot of excitement. There's kind of younger players, guys that are less known, et cetera, et cetera. However, this last tournament here, the Fortinet, you had some names here in the top 10. Some guys that had just come off playing in the last spot of the FedEx Cup playoffs. You have Max Homa in T7. Had Justin Thomas in fifth. We'll get to him. Sahith Theegala winds up getting the win, which is big for him. He's a guy that I was saying should have been in the Ryder Cup conversation. Never seemed like his name came up, but definitely in the future, I could see him being a factor in the Ryder Cup decision making. But when you're looking at this kind of leaderboard, is it exciting? Not so much. But golf is back. The season's back. And this is obviously when you start looking at some of these guys who are a little bit less known, start thinking about FedEx Cup points, right? For example, Troy Merritt. Haven't heard of him. Going to be completely honest. But he came in T7, which now currently puts him in, let's see here, currently puts him in a 118, right? You keep getting these points early. Now you're breaking top 100. Now you're breaking top 70. You put yourself in a good position for the rest of the year. However, I feel like there's a big question that could be asked here. The offseason in golf is 2 weeks, right? Rick, do you think that the offseason needs to be longer?
I feel like we've beaten a dead horse on this one. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason I think that golf isn't quite as popular. Because you don't have the anticipation of the season coming. Like, even baseball has, what, 3 or 4 months out of the year where they're in an off season technically, and even then you're, like, still hearing about stuff. Like, stuff's still happening. Pitchers and catchers are reporting within, like, 3 months of the season and of the World Series ending. Like, even that's enough, though, because when you're a fan, 3 months is a long time to not have your team or your sport going on.
Mm-hmm.
Golf is 2 weeks. We have the FedEx Cup Championship where millions of dollars are dished out to these guys. And then we turn around a week later and we're like, hey, here's this $900,000 purse if you really want it. Come on out and play. Like, that doesn't get anybody excited.
Huh?
It doesn't get anybody excited. And it's because we just had the biggest tournament of the year with the most amount of money won. No one wants to watch these early tournaments. We need to just push them back and get some of that excitement back.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it where you say we're just beating a dead horse at this point. Really feels like it. I feel like this is something that gets talked about every year, but it never gets talked about in the right spaces. Like, this isn't getting to the higher ups at the PGA, right? They're concerned currently with the amount of blood money they have on their hands. Is it ever going to happen? Maybe. There's a chance that it could happen, especially with the whole merger thing going on. There's a chance that the shorter season could actually happen, which I think would be great for the game. I think Rick agrees with me. But especially in a Ryder Cup year, right? It's a lot like the Olympic year in some sports. You know what I mean? Where they push back training camp. They push back the season during Olympic years, during World Cup years in soccer, stuff like that. When you have a Ryder Cup year, why wouldn't you just take the time to just chillax, right? The Ryder Cup is this coming week.
Yeah.
And you just had to throw the Fortinet Championship in there? Just had to just squeeze one in before? You really didn't.
It's just unnecessary.
We could have gone a month. Anyway. You know? Yeah. It wasn't necessary, and it was probably good for Justin Thomas to get that fifth place in in going to the Ryder Cup soon, because I'll take some confidence out of him. We're going to talk about that whole thing here coming up shortly. But I really feel like we could have gone 4 weeks, right? Without the PGA Golf.
Even a month. Anything.
Yeah.
Even a month. 3 weeks.
A month or two would be honestly refreshing, I think, in a way.
Yeah.
Just because there's not a need and or necessarily a want for a casual golf fan in the winter. You know what I mean? Like casual golf fans, when it gets cold, they're really concerned about just getting out themselves, like in the fall, because again, we'll talk about this later in the episode. It's fall golf season, baby. Okay. We're talking golf sweatshirt season. Yeah. But we could talk about it endlessly. It's probably not going to get too drastically changed, but if you had it your way for this merger, would that be one of the major things you'd be looking to get out of it?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's just too much going on in the fall, winter, and early springtime as far as other major sports goes that there's just no need for it. And we love to see golf in warm places and these guys like looking like they're sweating a little bit. Like that's just golf because that's when we golf. And we don't really get that necessarily in the winter time because even when they're at these tropical places, like it's still kind of chilly. They're wearing like long sleeves and stuff like that. And I just think that there's too many fans of sports that aren't going to prioritize watching golf in the winter time.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, football's going on.
Right.
In a few weeks. Well, we still have baseball going on right now. A few weeks, hockey's going to be starting. Basketball's going to be starting. People are going to want to watch those over golf tournaments with nobody in them. Max Homa, Justin Thomas, maybe Sahith Theegala. That's pretty much all you have in this tournament.
Right.
If you give me the option of that or the Flyers, the Panthers, the Eagles, literally any football game, I'm not watching golf because there's no reason for me to watch just those three guys because I got to watch all the other guys play too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the fact that you and I would both rather watch the Philadelphia Flyers than golf. That's saying something, to be honest.
That is saying something.
And it's really because of how long the season is, right? Like, it's just exhaustion.
It's just exhaustion. It's not that we don't enjoy golf still at that time of year. It's not that we don't want to watch golf. It's that we just watched golf for 9 months. We just need a little bit of a break to break it up and watch some other sports and get back the excitement of the golf season.
And do you expect us as fans to go from the final 30 of the PGA playing against each other and then the Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
And you expect us to turn around and get excited for these small tournaments in the middle of the country? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like, you could just give us a break, come back in January when they start playing in Hawaii, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. Yeah. I think that's probably what would be one of my biggest changes for the merger. I'm hopeful. Who knows? It could happen. To keep on pushing here, though, we do have some other golf news. And yeah, it's all about the Ryder Cup. I'm not going to lie to you, folks. It just is. Okay. Ryder Cup this week. You know what the vibe is here. However, I wasn't expecting this, right? You know me in the Ryder Cup. I'm always excited. I'm always ready to go. I didn't expect to be angry about it, but here I am, Rick. I'm mad. And do you want to know why I'm mad?
I would love to know why.
I'll tell you why I'm mad. Why is Justin Thomas on this team? My man missed the FedEx Cup playoffs, had his record worst year during a Ryder Cup year, didn't barely compete in many major tournaments, right? And just never looked like he was comfortable out there. Had an off year. It happens to most athletes. I would say most good to maybe even great athletes have one, maybe two off years in their entire career. Yeah. Especially golfers, their careers last for like 40 years.
Yeah.
You're bound to have off years. Right? Exactly. It's going to happen. This would be an off year for Justin Thomas. And instead of picking other younger, hungrier, better at the time golfers for that last captain's pick, we got Justin Thomas. Now, first reaction, Rick, when you saw the news that JT was going to be on the team, what were you thinking?
Kind of annoyed, not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Confused, mostly. because I just felt like there was other people that earned it this year. It's like I look at it as almost like the Pro Bowl or the All-Star game. Like, if, not that this is ever going to happen because he's awesome, but if Mike Trout ever had an off year, he wouldn't just go to the All-Star game. He would still have to get voted into the All-Star game based on his performance.
Right.
And this should be no different. You should be there based on your performance 100%. That year. Doesn't matter what your name is. Doesn't matter what you did in years prior. And Justin Thomas just didn't do it this year. There was plenty of guys that deserved it more than him this year. And I was confused.
Yeah, no, and the confusion obviously was, you know, granted, right? Like, you look at the body of work he had during the season, and you make a great analogy because you really could argue that the Ryder Cup is the All-Star game in a way, right? You have basically the All-Stars as chosen by not only performance, but also the captains of those nations. And he's just not a guy who had an All-Star / Ryder Cup type of season, you know? Yeah. And the fact that we're now just confirming that it's a popularity contest is the most frustrating thing. Because it's really just confirmation to, I feel like, all of us golf fans that it's always has been a popularity contest. Usually you could hide it behind the fact that the popular guys were probably pretty darn good that year. That's just usually how it goes. But we're running into a situation now where you have one of the more popular golfers on the PGA Tour, especially on the American side, who had a bad year. You have to hold yourself as a team, as an organization, with a little bit more pride than that, right?
Yeah.
I understand it's JT. I get that. He's been on the team, I think, his entire tenure as a professional golfer, at least since he's had his tour card.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's not the right call. It's the better call to let the younger guys go, right? He blocked out guys like Sahith Theegala that I would love to see at the Ryder Cup. You know what I mean?
Keegan
Bradley had a stellar year.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? You know?
I think he's the one that bothers me the most because he had a great year, and I think he would have done well. So I think he's the one that bothers me the most.
Right.
Obviously, I'm gonna shout to the heavens for my boy Lucas Glover all the time, but
our sweaty gentleman,
mostly Keegan Bradley, I think for me this year is the one that's frustrating. Obviously we're still excited for the Ryder Cup. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun to watch. But we're frustrated with this specific thing.
Right. Right. And when you really look at it, did he just pop off a top five finish? Yes, he did. Which is great. Right? That's great momentum going into the Ryder Cup. I hope that, you know, that's something that he maybe tweaked some things, maybe just got some confidence back. That's great. We'd love to see a top five there. It's just, it's not what it should be, right?
This top five against 25 of the best players in the world right now in a major championship? No.
Yeah. And did he just come off 4 weeks of basically vacation because he didn't qualify for the for the FedEx Cup? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened, right? So maybe it is he just needed a break. He just had a bad year and he's turned it around. Maybe. Obviously, the proof's going to be in the pudding. We'll have to see what happens at the Ryder Cup. We'll have to see what happens in Rome. But we're going to find out nonetheless. But some more Ryder Cup news here. One of the guys that didn't make it that, you know, I wasn't necessarily thinking about, and I don't think, Rick, you were either, but he's made claims that he thinks he deserved to be in there, and that is one Dustin Johnson, who we know has gone over to the live side of things, but he had an interview with the Palm Beach Post where he said he, quote, would love to be a part of the U.S. Ryder Cup team, and that as well as his 2023 season didn't go as planned, he thinks that he did enough to earn a spot in Rome. What do you think? Do you think he did enough to earn a spot in Rome, Rick?
I completely disagree. I don't think he did enough to earn a spot in Rome.
No, no.
Like, you did okay in a few of the majors, but not enough. Like, these guys have been playing out of their minds all year, most of them, except JT. But I also wouldn't argue that I would take Dustin Johnson over JT with how he played this year.
Yeah. Like, they're two guys that I just wouldn't have included this year.
Yeah, and when you look at the body of work from Dustin Johnson, you're looking at his best finish on the actual major side, which you would consider the PGA Tour side, was at the U.S. Open, where he was T10. Good finish there. That's a good finish. But outside of that, he only got top 25s in four other tournaments, which is half of the LIV Tour season, one of those being a win. That's great in Tulsa. But it's pretty comparable to the body of work that we got out of Justin Thomas, right? Like, these are pretty comparable stat lines here. They both had bad to mediocre seasons.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at, like, playing devil's advocate a little bit here, right? If you're looking at this side by side, you're looking at they both kind of had relatively the same years.
Yeah.
Do you think the decision to go with Justin Thomas over Dustin Johnson was because DJ's on the LIV side? Or do you think it was just something else?
I think maybe subconsciously it's partially because of the LIV Tour, because of Zach Johnson, and I could very much see him making that decision based on LIV Tour.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if we'll ever get, like, confirmation on that.
Right.
I think he thinks that it was solely based on performance. But I think part of it probably is a little bit because of the LIV Tour, because, like you said, their seasons were pretty comparable. Not that great, not really super impressive. Neither of them really deserved it. Right. Pretty much the only separating factor is that JT's not on the LIV Tour.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously this is a guy, right, and Zach Johnson, who did choose Brooks Koepka to be on the team for obvious reasons. But when it comes to this kind of compare-contrast, A, I don't think either should have been on the team. Let's just get that out of the way first.
Yeah.
But B, I really think it's because DJ just, because he was on the LIV Tour, and maybe not just because, like, it is the LIV Tour, but because since he played so much less golf, where I guess he's just kind of hedging his bets and saying JT has played more, has more, you know, work hours under his belt. Dustin Johnson has a better Ryder Cup resume, so I really feel like it could have gone that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that was the argument one of my coworkers made, and I was talking to him about it. He's like, he said, are you really going to keep Justin Thomas out of the Ryder Cup? His resume there speaks for itself. And I'm like, sure. But DJ, if I'm not mistaken, has a better Ryder Cup resume overall. I think he's got DJ Ryder Cup performance. Let's see here. His career record at the Ryder Cup, DJ, is 6-5-0, right? And he's played in 2010, 2012, 2016, and most recently in 2018, right? It was 18, or is it 2020? I forget. Either way, so he's pretty middle of the road, actually. I thought he'd be a bit better. Let's look at Justin Thomas. It would be really funny if this entire argument just flipped over on me. Justin Thomas, performance. Here we go. Justin Thomas at the Ryder Cup. He's a career. Okay, yeah. You knew this was going to happen. His career is 6-2-1. So just about the same. Like, it's not, you know, astronomical. I guess, you know, Justin's lost a bit less, but same amount of wins. To me, it's just they were so comparable. It's hard to not point out that DJ's on the LIV Tour. To be honest, I just think neither of them should have been involved in the first place, but
yeah.
It's not a decision we get to make. We talked about it before. There are a lot of people that got really angry on Twitter, and a lot of people that got really angry at the people who were frustrated by it. You know, I just think that it's pretty much confirmed now. It's a popularity contest, which kind of sucks because you don't like that. That's how it's come down the wire. You know, it's who's the most popular, but we're going to find out, right? We're still excited, like, go USA and all that jazz. But nothing quite as exciting. And we're going to get into our last bit of the pod here. Nothing quite more exciting, Rick, than fall golf.
Very true.
It's here, I believe. When does fall technically start? Is it this weekend? Is this the first weekend of fall?
I think so. The 21st?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's the first weekend of fall, right? If it's fall golf now, courses prices are going to start going down a little bit. It's going to start getting a little nice and chillier, right? The leaves are going to start. What was that?
It's Q-zip season.
It's big Q-zip season, hoodie season, right? The leaves are going to start changing. Everything's going to look super pretty, right? So we're going to talk about some things.
Find your ball before. Now you got to look through leaves.
Yeah, good luck.
That's the worst part about fall golf.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about our favorites, our least favorites, and where do we consider in the rankings of seasonal golf here, right? So first things first, Rick, what are some of your favorite things about fall golf?
Q-zips and hoodies, no doubt. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's easier for me to enjoy a nice adult beverage during the fall season because I don't feel like I need to keep up with as much water. Because right. If I'm doing water and an adult beverage, it's just so much. Like, I'm literally drinking in between every shot.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the fall, I'm not as dehydrated. So I feel like I can actually enjoy a nice transfusion or something on the course without feeling like I'm getting dehydrated by the second.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. I just, the quarter zips and the hoodies are pretty much all I need.
Yeah.
I do also like having a nice hot drink on the course.
Yeah.
I think that's underrated. Having like a nice, for people who enjoy coffee or a nice tea or hot chocolate or something like that while you're out there and not feeling like not sweating because of it. That's also very nice. So I enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the hot beverage. I feel like that is something that's super underrated. Getting a hot cocoa out there, throw some Baileys in there. Ooh, come on now. That's beautiful. I agree with you though. Hoodies, quarter zips, that's clutch. One of my favorite looks that I've recently started doing is the crew neck with a polo underneath so the collar pokes out. Because a crew neck to me, it's nice because it's never too heavy and also not too light. Like, it can keep you warm, but if it does wind up heating up a little bit, you're not going to be sweating. Like, usually with hoodies and Q-zips, they're kind of fleece lined, right? They're kind they're really meant for cold weather and to help you out. I feel like crew necks aren't always like that. It's not like fleece or like a thick material usually. They're kind of more, they're a little bit lighter. They're a little bit lighter on the swing. I think it's more it's easier to roll the sleeves up if you need to. And also, like, the collar poking out, it's a nice little look. You know, it makes you feel kind of fashionable a little bit. Sometimes I feel like I could be a fashion, guy, you know. It's the best part is the weather by far. Yeah. It's cooling down. You're looking at, like, high 60s, mid-60s. Just beautiful stuff. It's colder in the morning. You prepare yourself for that, right?
Yeah. But
then by the afternoon, you know, you might be touching even low 70s, right? By far the best part to me is the temperature and the ability to wear, you know, your sweatshirts and stuff like that, crew necks. But also, I feel like something that's really slept on and what's great for us in the northeastern part of the country, the leaves changing. Like, before they all fall over the place, which we'll talk about. The leaf color changing almost changes the entire backdrop of your golf round.
The views are just immaculate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if you get the chance to go into, like, the mountains and play or even just your normal, you know, northeastern towns and stuff. The way the leaves change and you see the rolling hills and the mountainsides and stuff, it's awesome. Every course turns almost picturesque in the fall. Even your like, kind of like crappy municipal courses, the trees that they have there, the colors are going to be changing and it's going to make it way prettier. It's going to be an awesome round. Only problem though, and now let's talk about this point, our least favorite things about fall golf has to be the leaves 100%. Everywhere.
100%.
So if you haven't had the luxury of playing during the fall, when the leaves start to change and then subsequently fall off the tree, good luck finding your golf ball. It's borderline impossible.
Even especially in the fairway sometimes, depending on how many leaves the course has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, you can hit the fairway, you can hit a perfect shot, you're not finding your ball. What is your policy, Rick, if you're hanging out with your friends and you're golfing, right, and you see your buddy hit a perfect shot, right? That ball should be findable. It was a great shot. Maybe not even a perfect shot, but a good shot. That ball should be found, right? 5 feet, 10 feet off the fairway. Ball should be locatable. you look for 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, can't find a damn thing. And you know that's the area it was. Do you give your buddy a free drop?
Yeah, I think Tom is the one I heard say it first, but he references it as the PGA Tour drop. And basically that just means if there was crowds there, that ball would have been very easily found. It's just because you were 200 plus yards away and couldn't see exactly where it ended up that you lost it. Mm-hmm. You know it was in play, and obviously the the honesty comes into play here. But if you're playing with people who you know are honest and they're not going to try to get one over on you, you can play, look, I hit the ball here. I saw it land in this general area. There's almost no way it ended up in the woods, in the water, whatever. Do you mind if I just take a drop here? Give them a free drop. It's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it a million times. We're not on tour. It doesn't matter that much. If they really feel like this drop is what's going to give them that extra push, just give it to them.
Right.
It's not that big a deal.
Right. It really isn't. And, you know, none of us are on the PGA Tour, right?
Even if you're playing for money, I get that money comes into play sometimes when you're out there. But, like, if you had a ball and you see it land in the fairway, you know there's no way that it ended up in the water or the woods.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't find it, it might be plugged. It might be buried under some leaves. Just be a good person and give them a drop.
Yeah. I love that that term, though. I think that Tom said PGA drop. I like that. Because you're right. If there was a crowd of people there, you're finding that ball, right?
Yeah, they'll move the leaves for you. They'll tell you where the ball's at. The little flag will be there.
Exactly. Exactly. And,
like, what's the difference, you know?
Right. And I think another one of the things that I really dislike about fall golf is when it starts getting just a little too cold, like right on the cusp of fall golf and winter golf, right there at that change of season. When the tee box gets so hard that you can't get your damn tee in the ground, like you kind of you need almost like a power tool drill to make a hole first and then put your tee in there. That's super frustrating because I honestly think tee height is I could be just be talking on my ass here, but sometimes I feel like when my drives aren't going well or like the way I'm shooting out of the tee box isn't going well, if I just adjust my tee height ever so slightly, it starts going well again. Now that could just be a placebo effect. It easily could be, but I do think there's something to tee height. You know, especially for amateurs, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a placebo effect, but at the same time, if you're practicing with your tee at a certain height, or even if, like, you usually have it at a certain height, but you're feeling a little bit tight that day, you're not quite getting as far back on your swing, or you just tee it up a little bit higher, you start hitting it right. You know, like, there's little adjustments that you're going to make throughout the round. Professional golfers do it.
Right.
You're just going to have to make adjustments as you go. And I agree. Like, I have very specific tees that I use. They're from Walmart because they have little lines on them, and I know exactly where I usually tee it up every time. Sometimes I have to adjust it depending on how I'm playing that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make it impossible sometimes when the ground is super frozen.
Yeah, especially you're just trying to get the tee in the ground at that point, and now your tee height's all over the place, right? Yeah. There's just no chance that's going to go well for you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's... It's not that it's like awful. It's just frustrating, right? Because it's not going to ruin my round, but definitely like I'm spending more time in the tee box. He's trying to get this thing in the ground. Now I'm out of my swing thoughts and all that. So it just takes longer a little bit. But, you know, as far as negatives are concerned, I think the positives far outweigh them, in my opinion. Yeah.
The only time that I start to have an issue with it is when I have to wear a winter glove on my other hand in between swings so that my hand doesn't freeze up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time that I'm like, okay, we're getting to the point where I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, I 100% agree. when I'm wearing two gloves because it's that cold, I'm like, you know, maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't have booked this one, right?
Maybe it's not golf
season. Maybe it's just not a golf season. But hey, that's a great segue here. Last little bit of the episode. Let's rank the seasons, all four of them, in which are best to golf in. You have your summer, your spring, your fall, your winter. We can do this from, we're going to do it worst to first, right? So what season do you think is the worst to golf in? Winter?
Like winter, yeah.
Yeah, like the deep, deep cold, like talking sub 20 temps. Yeah. Yeah, we look, we've been there. We've done that, right? We were out there when it was 18 degrees one time.
Yeah.
I don't need to do it again.
Wasn't great. Didn't have the best time.
No, like about hole three, I was like, this is no longer fun.
Yeah.
I'm having a pretty mediocre time.
Yeah.
And that's, and look, if people like golfing in that weather, that's why golf courses stay open, I guess. It does make the round cheaper. I get all that. There's nobody out there. There are some perks. Overall, too damn cold. I can't really get around it. I completely agree. Number four, I think, is also winter. What do you have at number three? Is where things kind of get a little interesting here.
Spring.
See, I got summer in the number three spot.
Mine is spring because of allergies.
Right, right.
Obviously, the heat kind of sucks sometimes, but I'd rather be sweating than sneezing every 5 seconds.
That's fair. That's fair.
So spring for me is second worst.
See, I don't really suffer that badly from seasonal allergies. I do get allergies every now and then, but the pollen content has to be like really high for it to get to me. So I'm going to put summer in the number three spot. And that's just because I am a notorious sweater. I sweat no matter what the season is, no matter what the temp is. And so once it becomes July to, mid-September, the worst.
Yeah, it's hot.
And I love the summer. The summer is one of my favorite actual seasons because of the stuff you get to do. There's so much.
Yeah, it's outside all the time.
The sun is out all the time. Yeah. It's great, but like as far as golf is concerned, I'm out there doing something relatively athletic, sweating profusely. You know what I mean?
Makes you feel like an athlete again.
Yeah, I guess. But I wasn't out there to sweat that much. You know what I mean? You feel gross. You're coated in sweat and sunscreen, and the sunscreen didn't even work because I'm all pasty. So I still.
Why you don't wear sunscreen?
Yeah, and it's just. I could have had a better time. You know what I mean? So I'm throwing summer in the number three hole. Number two, second best season to golf. Rick, what do you got?
I think our twos and threes are just flip-flopped here because I got summer.
Yep. Yeah, I got spring. Yeah. Look, summer's obviously it's the best time to golf. It's the season of golf, some would say. I like spring, though, just because, A, I don't suffer that badly from allergies, and it's almost like fall 2.0 if you play your cards right.
Because
you're still getting that 60 degree 65 degree weather. It's just at that point you've been suffering through the winter so much you are in shorts and a short sleeve,
because
it's not cold to you anymore. It's now actually kind of hot.
It's 60 degrees and you're like, wow, this polo and shorts is amazing.
This is fantastic. And now it turns 65, I'm like, woo, got a little chilly out here, huh?
I might have to grab my winter jacket.
A little chill to the bone out here. And then number one, I'm glad that we nailed this because obviously the episode is almost destined to be this way. The number one time to golf, it's fall. It is. It's the best. It's honestly the best season to golf. Look, we're taking, not necessarily taking a poll, but if you guys listen to this episode and agree, disagree, think we're dumb, let us know in the DMs. Let us know in our social media.
You think winter is the best?
If you're a crazy person and winter is your favorite time to golf, I need to know why. I need an answer to that question. Yeah, but obviously, thank you so much as always for listening. We're not really going to go through our power rankings this episode because it's the Ryder Cup, really.
USA.
That's your power ranking is the United States are going to win. That's pretty much it. I don't know what else to tell you.
18.5 to 9.5.
Let's make it happen. Let's win by let's win by one. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We always appreciate when you guys hit play. Thanks for coming back for another season of golf. Go ahead and follow us on our social medias, on Instagram @FromTheTips_pod and on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, @FTT_pod. We will appreciate it if you guys hit the follow button on those and go ahead, DM us, comment on our stuff. We will interact with you. We love when you guys interact with us. So please go follow us on those two platforms. As always, again, thank you so much for listening and we.
Thanks, guys. See you later.